Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Katie Gillen with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, Councillor Jerry McMonagall and Councillor Jack Murray have filled the last two Cahirley positions for Donegal County Council. A Donegal County Councillor is warning of the dangers of phone chargers after a family member of his had a lucky escape yesterday. Unions and Aer Lingus continue to meet with the Labour Court this evening in an effort to find a breakthrough in the pilot's pay dispute. And the Department of Housing, Local Government and Heritage say they are doing everything possible to reopen Glenveagh Castle this week. These stories and full plus more to follow. Chris Ashmore will be here with the latest in sport. Councillor Jerry McMonagall has been elected as Cathaoirleach of the Letterkenny Milford Municipal District. He replaces outgoing Mayor Kevin Bradley, who missed out on a seat in last month's local election. Having previously held the role twice before, as well as Cathaoirleach of Donegal County Council, Councillor McMonagall says the regeneration of Letterkenny, the delivery of social housing and the defect of concrete block issue will be his focus over the next year. The Sinn Féin councillor says now is the time to implement the work of the past number of years.
The main priority for us going forward has to be the completion of the rural and urban regeneration works that we've been spent the last term organising, strategising over, and now we're ready for its implementation. The other major concern for us is the provision of social housing. We have a rising housing list in Letterkenny MD. We have the largest number of people on our waiting list. We have now a significant number of people who are facing evictions. So it's imperative now that we put all our focus on delivering the social housing projects that we have started. And the other focus is on is that we have to get the government to initiate the scheme for the remediation of social houses affected by defective concrete blocks. We have far too many social houses lying vacant and far too many social houses where people are living in terrible conditions. And that's why I ask today that we write to the Minister immediately, seeking a meeting to discuss when that would be implemented, but more importantly, when more social houses will be allowed to be built in Letterkenny.
And you did say so much work has been done over the past number of years, so now's the time that's implemented.
The last 3 years in particular, there was a large focus on the provision of social housing and the remediation scheme for social houses. We have done all the groundwork now, the base is set in place, and we have a number of social housing projects in the pipeline. We just need to start them. As regards the rural and urban regeneration, again, a number of them projects have started, but we need to be complete them over this next term.
Meanwhile, Fianna Fáil councillor Kieran Brogan takes over the role of Las Cathaoirleach from councillor Pádraic McGarvey. Tributes were paid today to both Kevin Bradley and John O'Donnell, who lost their seats in the local elections, for their contribution to the MD. Elsewhere, Councillor Jack Murray has been elected as Cathaoirleach of the Inishowen Municipal District this afternoon. He replaces fellow Sinn Féin Councillor Terry Crossan, who will now take over the reins as Las Cathaoirleach. A Donegal County Councillor is warning of the dangers of phone chargers after a family member of his had a lucky escape yesterday. A phone and charger were discovered smouldering in Councillor Michael McLafferty's home after a burning smell was noticed. Councillor McLafferty says the incident acts as a stark reminder of the dangers of chargers left unattended. He fears it could have been a very different outcome if the phone was left charging overnight.
Family member and the house had a lucky escape. What had happened was the phone was down in the bedroom in charge. They were elsewhere in the house doing other stuff, and then they found then this burning smell coming into the bedroom, and then the phone was sizzling on the verge of basically going on fire, because of what I understand is, I think basically when this happens, I've read somewhere before, apparently the phone just more or less explodes. So when that would have happened, you would have, obviously would have had a fire then immediately then in the bedroom and such. So it could have turned out very nasty. I want to appeal to people today, put out the awareness there. This has happened. It happened in my house yesterday morning. It can happen in anybody's house. It could be somebody else's house tomorrow. The reality is here, if this had happened maybe 2 hours or 3 hours beforehand, Michaela, through the night, it could have been a totally different story. People would have been asleep. They wouldn't have been alerted, possibly. Phone on charge on the bed, beside the bed. Obviously, high flammable stuff beside you. It could have been all over just before anybody realised. So I just want to put out the awareness, Michaela, how dangerous it is to have in this case yesterday, a phone charging unattended in the room.
And this is something that the Donegal Fire Service have repeatedly warned about. So this is just another example of how important it is to heed this advice.
It's another example, yes, Michaela. It is another example. In fairness, the Donegal Fire Service, Joe McTaggart and his team and all his fire crew and no more than through Lufford there, Gary Martin, and that as head of the fire service there through Lufford. This is all stuff they highlight from time to time. Always they have done this. And there's no different myself. The ball has been dropped. This is the reality of it just.
Unions and Aer Lingus continue to meet with the Labour Court this evening in an effort to find a breakthrough in the pilots' pay dispute. Both the airline and the pilots' union, IALPA, were both hopeful of a resolution on their way into the meeting this afternoon. IALPA had been looking for a 24% pay rise, which has since moved to around 21%. IALPA President Mark Tighe says if these talks don't succeed, an escalation in industrial action is likely.
Well, if this fails today, we are back looking at an escalation. There's nothing that I can see beyond the Labour Court and its extensive experience, as I mentioned before. So in recognition of that, we didn't escalate. But if this doesn't work, there's not much other option on the table.
392 flights have been cancelled by Aer Lingus since a work to rule started on Wednesday up to this coming Sunday. Chief Corporate Affairs Officer Donal Moriarty says more cancellations could be on the way.
392 cancellations to date, taking us up to Sunday the 7th. We are currently reviewing what the cancellation programme may have to be going beyond that, and that will happen later this week.
The Department of Housing, Local Government and Heritage say they are doing everything possible to reopen Glenveagh Castle this week. It's after it emerged visitors making the journey to Glenveagh National Park were denied access to the castle due to staffing issues. In a statement, the department has confirmed that the attraction was temporarily closed due to the staff shortages and that it will remain closed today and on Wednesdays over the coming weeks. Councillor Micheál Colum-McGilla-Aspig says tourists have been travelling from across the world to be met with disappointment.
I called in to Glenveagh last week to see if there was a new manager appointed yet. And I was walking up towards the visitor centre. I saw a sign saying castle closed. And I thought to myself, God, what's happening here? Talking to a good number of people, I found out that the castle, not just on the day I visited, but also on other days had been closed. And I'm waiting for, I suppose, the minister to come back to me on this here. But what I'm led to believe is that it's the lack of adequate staffing. And as somebody who lives fairly close to Glenveagh, a part of it is in my constituency. Like everybody else in this county, pride ourselves in having this castle in our county and the fantastic, unbelievable welcoming staff that goes along with it. The grounds, the visitor centre, bus drivers, the cleaners, everybody. And to find out that the castle was closed, and just by chance, I met with a good number of people from different parts of the world. There was one family there. I would suggest that they might have been from Asia. Their parents were here for a holiday of a lifetime, and they were absolutely gutted when found out that they couldn't go to the castle. That was sad, and there was a good number of other visitors that I did talk to and who were gutted.
A fisherman who was rescued after the boat he was in was hit by a freak wave off the Donegal coast at the weekend has praised Lochs Willie Oranilai for rescuing him. Seamus Martin and fellow fisherman Michael were on their way back from a day on the water when they got into difficulty off Carrieblah on Saturday afternoon. Lochs Willie Oranilai were tasked by Malinhead Coast Guard and transferred the men from their boat, bringing them to shore. Seamus told the 9 Till Noon show that only for the quick actions of Lochs Willie Oranilai, they may not have made it back to safety.
We went out fishing about 11:30 Saturday morning. It was pretty choppy, but we had a good day of fishing. And we arrived back in on Drumcraig Beach about 4:30. We tied up our main boat to the mooring, which is an 18-foot free hog. Mm-hmm. And we got into the 12-foot punt to row back to shore when we were hit with a freak wave. It bashed a small boat up against the big one and almost capsized us. And my fishing colleague rolled in the boat and dislocated his shoulder, which left him helpless. So we managed to get back in to the bay to another mooring, and we tied up there and contacted the RNLI, which were with it within half an hour.
So the call was made, yeah. You just couldn't get back in from the position you were, and within half an hour the RNLI were on scene.
They were on scene. Brilliant service. Could not recommend them anymore. And everything was set in order. We were lifted into the rib, back out into the swilly, and onto the main RNLI boat, which brought us to Buncrana. And the ambulance service were waiting there for Michael.
Wow.
So everything worked out perfect. But only for the RNLI, we never would have got ashore.
Those taking the driver theory test can no longer use the 2019 question booklet. The exam, taken by around 200,000 people each year, has been updated as of this morning. These changes to the pool of 900 questions, including new images and more relevant questions relating to current road safety legislation. Transport expert Conor Fawn says waiting times for a test have also been improved.
Much, much better. Aiming for a national average of 6 weeks, they're overshooting that, they're a bit behind it, and it sort of waxes and wanes. They took a hit during COVID, they've been a while catching up on it, so sometimes people will come in and complain about it.
A man is due in court tomorrow charged with the possession of drugs in Derry. The 22-year-old was arrested following reports of a man acting suspiciously in Derry city centre on Sunday. He is due before Derry Magistrates Court and also faces charges of supplying and possessing a classy drug with intent to supply. The time is coming up to 12 minutes past five. Chris Ashmore will have all the latest in sport after this short break.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. From rebounders to goalposts, find everything you need to play your best at michaelmurphysports.ie.
The time is coming up to 5:15. Chris Ashmore is here with all the latest in sport.
Thanks, Katie. We begin with Gaelic Games, and Donegal's All-Ireland Senior Football Championship semi-final clash with Galway will be played on Sunday, July the 14th, with a 4 o'clock throw-in. It was confirmed today. Donegal saw off Louth by 123 to 18 points in their quarter-final yesterday to book their place in the last four for the first time in a decade, while Galway knocked the Dubs out on Saturday. Donegal manager Jim McGuinness is a good friend of Galway boss Apóric Joyce. Indeed, their friendship goes back to when they played together at IT Tralee, winning a Sigerson Cup back in 1998. And this is what McGuinness had to say of Joyce following the weekend games.
If we couldn't win it, I'd be delighted for Apóric and Galway to win it. That's the God's honest truth. We had great times together. He's a great fella, a great football man, and very driven. And we had great memories down in Tralee, and have always stayed in contact. And I am looking forward to that, you know, because I know that one of us will progress to the final.
And Kerry's meeting with Armagh and the other semi-final will be played on Saturday, July the 13th, with a 5:30 start at Croke Park. And the Tolton Cup final meeting of Down and Laois will serve as the curtain raiser then from 3 o'clock. Now, staying with Gaelic Games, and Donegal's Petter Mogan is one of three people in line for the GAA Player of the Week award, along with Killian McDade of Galway and Barry McCambridge of Armagh. And those nominations can be made online. And Mogan is one of four from the Donegal squad who featured in the GAA's Team of the Week. Owen Ban Gallagher, Michael Langan and Oisin Gallen all featuring as well, alongside Derry's Shane McGuigan, despite Derry losing 15-10 to Kerry. Moving on to soccer, and two Donegal sisters are set to make some Irish soccer history this month. Jodie and Kerry Lohry from Buncrana have both been named in the Ireland women's under-19 squad for the European Championship finals in Lithuania. Ireland will be in a tough-looking Group B along with Spain, Germany and the Netherlands. If selected for the starting 11, the Lohrys could become the first female siblings to represent Ireland at a major tournament. The Buncrana girls have already played for Ireland together at under 17 level. And Ireland's opening match at the Euro under 19 finals will be on Monday, July the 15th, against the holders Spain. Meanwhile, Sligo Rovers have confirmed that Everton will play Sligo Rovers in a pre-season game on Friday, July the 19th at 4 o'clock. Republic of Ireland captain Seamus Coleman looking forward to the occasion. He signed for Everton from the Bitter Red right back in June 2009, and it's set to be Everton's first pre-season game ahead of next season. And staying with soccer, Dusseldorf hosts the first of this evening's last 16 contests at Euro 2024. France play Belgium from 5, then at 8. It's in Frankfurt, it's Portugal against Slovenia. And two Republic of Ireland internationals find themselves as free agents today. John Egan has confirmed his release by Sheffield United after 6 years at the club, while Preston North End have chosen not to renew Alan Brown's contract. In tennis, defending men's champion Carlos Alcaraz has beaten the Estonian qualifier Mark Lyell in straight sets at Wimbledon as day one of action got underway. Also today, there's been straight sets wins for fifth seed Daniel Medvedev, eighth seed Casper Ruud, and the 10th seed Grigor Dimitrov. The world's women's third seed, Arina Sabalenka, was forced to withdraw ahead of her first-round match due to a shoulder injury. But there have been first-round wins today for the 7th seed, Jasmine Paolini, 9th seed, Maria Sakkari, and the 14th seed, Daria Kasatkina. In cycling, today's third stage of the Tour de France was the longest stage, and it was Biniam Girmay of the Intermarché Wanty team who grabbed the win in Turin after over 230 kilometres, just getting the better of Fernando Gavira of Movistar to the line in front of the Italian fans. Ireland's Sam Bennett was placed 9th in the sprint finish, and Richard Carapaz took control of the yellow jersey for the first time in his career. Finally, in boxing, Team Ireland, with Ravo's Peter O'Donnell as manager, are returning home from the 2024 European Junior Championships in Sarajevo with 2 gold medals, 5 bronze, a best male boxer trophy, and they finished 3rd in the country's medals table. So a great weekend for them. Don't forget, later this evening, the DL debate, when, naturally enough, the focus will be on all the action from the weekend, and not least Donegal's progression to the semi-finals of this year's competition. That is your sport, Katie.
Thanks, Chris. Locals and tourists are being urged to ensure a visit to Newmills Corn and Flax Mills is on their agenda when visiting Letterkenny. Councillor Donal Mandy Kelly says it's vital there's an increase in footfall to the amenity to ensure additional funding for it can be secured. Minister Patrick O'Donovan previously said the corn and flax mill would not be given any significant funding unless there was a rise in footfall. The corn and flax mill has officially reopened for the season today. Councillor Kelly believes more services could be provided on site to attract more visitors.
Recently we had the Minister, Patrick O'Donovan, from the OPW, visit this very popular facility, and he did make us aware at the time that in order to get more funding to progress this facility, the footfall had to increase coming through the door. I'm eager now to try to get as many people as possible this summer to visit the Newmills Corn and Flax, because, you know, at the end of the day, Michaela, this is on our doorstep here. It's free admission. There's free guided tours. I would encourage people to come out, take their families, their friends, their children, take them all out and visit it. I can guarantee you one thing, they won't be disappointed, and in turn, it will increase the footfall, and it'll give it a better opportunity as well to increase funding for Newmills Corn and Flax, because there's a great facility there, Michaela, as it is, but it can be extended for the likes of a coffee shop, a memorabilia shop, you know, and stuff like that to make it even more attractive. You know, it's on the route as well to Garden, Columkill Heritage Centre, and out to Glenveagh, you know. This is a fantastic facility on a fantastic route.
This is an issue that comes to a head every year about this time of year as the facility is set to reopen. So as you mentioned there, the likes of a cafe would increase footfall. Is this something that would be considered by the department, or the council would need to put this in place?
It'll have to be in conjunction with the two, I'd imagine, Michaela. But the number one thing is to increase the footfall now, and they'd be able to secure more funding. And if we can do that as a council, through the local authority and through the OPW, I think there's a massive opportunity for a coffee shop here in New Mills Corner and Flex.
A new programme for female entrepreneurs kicks off in Donegal tomorrow as part of the Empower programme. Information sessions to help women in business will get underway in Gidor. The programme, in partnership with Uteras na Gaeltachta, is a free initiative from the innovation hubs of Atlantic Technical University and the Rubicon Centre at Munster Technological University. Maria Staunton, coordinator of Empower, says it's about building a network and confidence.
So in the last number of years, we've had approximately 120 women have been through the programme, and some of those from Donegal. Now, more recently, we got funding from Uteras na Gaeltachta, and we ran a pilot last year just in Galway Mayo to test it. We had 13 females on the START programme, and then we expanded that this year. We're running it in all the Gaeltachta areas around the country, so seven counties, including Donegal. What we found was we weren't getting enough at the time females through the centre. A lot of females perhaps didn't have the confidence or whatever to come in the doors to see what was going on here. It was all about startups and starting your own business. And what we discovered through the programs that we ran was a lot of women, they're very highly skilled, highly educated, but some of it is just lacking a little bit of confidence. And starting your own business as well, it's a different kind of confidence that you need perhaps. So allowing those to come into the room and to develop peer networks, I guess, is a big one. So they come in and they meet other women in a similar situation. And then what happens when they go through with two different programs, when they go through the programs, they may join in Women in Business in Donegal, or down here it can be Network Mayo, so that that's a female-only group at the time. And then they expand perhaps into the chambers and more mixed groups and stuff like that. So it just gives them a little bit of confidence, bit of peer support and stuff like that, just to get them started and going. And then, as I said, from there they kind of move to other things at that stage.
The chance for this year's CAO applicants to change their course preference has now closed. Today was the final day of the CAO change of mind, where 2024 applicants could alter their course choices using its online portal. First offers for course places will be made on Friday. However, this year's Leaving Cert cohort will have to wait until the 28th of August for round one offers. The Minister for Further and Higher Education, Patrick O'Donovan, says an email or account notification should have been sent to applicants confirming the changes. Speaking to Greg Hughes earlier, Fiona Kelly, ATU Marketing and Student Recruitment Manager, says parents and guardians should check in with young people.
So in terms of people making their applications today, it's a good day for maybe parents who maybe haven't been maybe keeping an eye to see has your young person made the applications that they wanted, their preferences that they needed. And it's a good day to just kind of take a wee moment, look at that application process and see, do they have in their application what they want to do in September? Now, remember, preferences are really important.
Talk to me about that, though.
Yeah. So your number one is the dream course. Now, a lot of people get fixated on points and thinking, well, I'm never going to get 420 points that I need for that dream course. Put it in there anyway. If your dream course is 420, you don't know for sure if that programme will come down in points. Mm-hmm. It may go up, but you can't be sure. But you can't go back up the system if you don't have it at the top.
Right.
So say, for instance...
So regardless of what you think you might achieve, you put your courses in order of your preference.
Dream courses are number one.
And then let's roll the dice after
that. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And don't assume that you're not going to get what you need. So just make sure that, the dream course, the dream holiday type thing, that you have it as number one. And don't discount yourself.
Looking to weather now, mostly cloudy with a few showers, lowest temperatures of 8 to 11 degrees, mainly cloudy with occasional rain and drizzle. More persistent rain will develop in the evening, highest temperatures of 14 to 17 degrees. To conclude this evening's news, Councillor Jerry McMonagall and Councillor Jack Murray have filled the last two Cahirley positions for Donegal County Council. A Donegal County Councillor is warning of the dangers of phone chargers after a family member of his had a lucky escape yesterday. Unions and Aer Lingus continue to meet with the Labour Court this evening in an effort to find a breakthrough in the pilots' pay dispute. And the Department of Housing, Local Government and Heritage say they are doing everything possible to reopen Glenveagh Castle this week. That's all from the newsroom for now. We'll be back with more at 6 o'clock.
The obituary notices for this Monday evening, July the 2nd.
The death has taken place of Sadie Sweeney, Strand Road Bunbeg, originally of Ardveen Crawley. Her remains are reposing at Rorty's Funeral Home Derrybeg this evening until 8 o'clock and tomorrow from 2 o'clock to 8 o'clock. Rosary nightly at 8 o'clock. Funeral Mass on Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock in St Mary's Church Derrybeg. Interment afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. The Funeral Mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director's Facebook page. The death has taken place of George Robinson, Noble Gortley Letterkenny, House Private, Family and Close Friends, Please. Service to celebrate the life of George will be held at his sister's residence, Sylvia Robinson, Gortley Letterkenny, at 2 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon, followed by interment in Gortley Cemetery at 3 o'clock. The death has taken place of John Dorn, 1 Coal Hill, Newton Cunningham, reposing at his daughter Josephine and son-in-law Declan McDade's home at Killyberry, Newton Cunningham. Funeral leaving from there on Wednesday morning at 10:15 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in All Saints Church, Newton Cunningham, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Rosary each night at 9 o'clock. Family time please from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, donations in lieu to Surgical Ward 1, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or Terence McClintock, Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Maura O'Donnell, Clonbeg, Buncrana. Maura is reposing at her late residence. Funeral leaving there at 10:15 on Wednesday morning, going to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Porter Funeral Directors. The death has occurred of Charles Kerr, 19 St John's Park, Buncrana, and formerly of Letcher Urus Clamani. His remains are reposing at his home, reposing overnight at St Michael's Church, Urus. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock in St Michael's Church, Urus, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. The death has taken place of Billy Forbes, 43 Millhaven, Sion Mills and formerly of Strabane, reposing at his home. Funeral leaving his home tomorrow morning at 9:25 for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane at 10 o'clock. Cremation afterwards in Lakeland's Crematorium, Cavan. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Hope House, Ireland. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has taken place of Anne Donegan, 48 McNeely Villas, Letterkenny. Anne's remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning for Requiem Mass in St Junan's Cathedral, Letterkenny at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in Lex Cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. The death has taken place of Philip McDermott, Drumley, Glenealy. Philip's remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there at 10:20 on Wednesday morning for 11 o'clock funeral mass in St Mary's Church, Boken, followed by interment in the adjoining graveyard. Funeral mass can be viewed live on kildaffparish.com. Family time from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Eamon McLaughlin, Funeral Director. And the death has occurred of Bernard Barney Carr, Cabinteely, Dunleary, County Dublin, and formerly Ballinacrig, Fanid. Barney's remains are reposing at Shanahan, Fanid until 10 o'clock tonight, Rosary at 9 o'clock. Removal from there tomorrow morning at 10:30, going to St Mary's Church, Fanavolti, Fanid, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass with burial in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live on the McAteer Funeral Director's Facebook page. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.